Hello and welcome into another episode of Find the Edge with Nick and Cody, coming at you with our week six best bets here today, trying to wash the taste of a nasty week five out of our mouths. Cody, how do we feel about the slate this weekend?
I feel pretty good about this slate as well. Had a few changes from our Thursday podcast, put I think a couple different games in there than I was expecting to put in there, but I feel pretty good about my options. I did a little bit more research than I did last week, wanted to make sure that I was really narrowing it down to my five favorite picks, and I think that we got there, and I'm ready to roll this week. How are you feeling about your picks?
Feeling pretty good. Pretty much the same picks that we were talking about on Wednesday, with one exception. I think there was one position I kind of came around on. But beyond that, we basically are just rolling with the ones we were already leaning towards. I don't know if you want me to start us off. I think we will overlap twice on our best bets, if I'm not mistaken. So we can, I guess we'll just get to those eventually. But
yeah, let me go first, because I'm going across the pond. Jaguars at Bears, -1. Okay, I wasn't a fan of this one before Thursday. I know that Nick on Thursday's podcast said he was kind of leaning the Jaguars. I did find some stats for that game that made me kind of lean towards the Bears, and as I looked more into this game, I really fell in love with the Bears. So we are going to be on Bears -1. The number has moved against us, which I don't like very much, but I do like that it's basically down to a pick 'em. While favorites are 18-16 against the spread over in London, they are 22-11-1 money line, and this is basically down to a pick 'em now. So I do like that the Bears were favored. I do like that they are still favored by just a little bit. It looks like Vegas has a little bit of an edge on the Bears. They're not willing to move that line to the Jaguars' side. Basically, same things that I gave out on Thursday's podcast. The Bears have looked a lot better with an improving Caleb Williams. His passer rating through the first 5 weeks, 55 against the Titans, 51 against the Texans, both tough pass defenses. Then it slowly ticks up, 81 against the Colts, 106 against the Rams, and 126 against the Packers, all bottom pass defenses, and they are getting the worst pass defense in the NFL this week in the Jaguars. And on the flip side for me, the Jaguars looked good last week, had a little bit of a resurgence against the Colts, who are the 29th ranked pass defense in the NFL. They were really able to get it going last week. It'll be a much different look against the fifth best pass defense in the Bears. So for those reasons, we are going to take the Bears -1. I do expect it to be kind of low scoring and a close game, but I think in the end, the Bears are a better overall team than this Jaguars, and to basically get them at a pick 'em, I feel like, is a steal. So Bears -1 is my first pick over in London.
London. Yeah, this one is a tough line for me to read. This is just one of those pros Joe's games. You are riding with the public with the Bears. I think from a football perspective, it makes a lot of sense to be on Chicago here, but the Sharps are on the Jags. I don't know if it's because they, you know, play in London and maybe they think there's going to be some sort of advantage there, but from a football perspective, it's a pretty easy argument to make. I think you'd be hard-pressed to say the Jaguars are a better team, and now that the line's all the way down at one, it's hard to argue that the value's not on the Bears. So hopefully the morning game goes better for us this week than it did last. My first best bet is going to be a 12 o'clock game between the Ravens and the Commanders. We're riding with Baltimore -6.5 at home. This one really comes down to the rushing attacks on both sides. Baltimore only allowing 60.4 rush yards per game. Minnesota in second place in that metric, 67.2. Kansas City in third at 88.4. So a lot of separation at the top with those two top rush defenses. They were also best in the league last year. So this is just something that they do really, really well on defense. Only 54 yards per game at home, so it gets even better when you travel to Baltimore. On the other side, Washington, they're in the bottom 10 in rushing yards per game against, but they don't actually have a ton of rush attempts against them because teams have had to score a lot of points. So they're even worse in yards per carry against, 31st, 5.1 a pop. They are giving up on defense. The Ravens, for context, are at 3.1. Second place Minnesota, 3.6. So again, a ton of separation at the top. This is far and away the best rush defense in the NFL, and Washington sports one of the worst on the other side. So essentially just putting a ton on Jaden Daniels' right arm. I think, you know, even if Washington gets to 20, 24 points in this game, we could still cover that 7-point spread. Just a really tough matchup for Washington here. Don't know how they slow down Lamar and Derrick Henry. And this just seems like a tough spot for the rookie. Another pros Joe's spot here. 57% of tickets on the Commanders, 43% of money. So I like that. I like that the line has stuck at 6.5 all week as well, even with the action coming in on the Commanders, hasn't budged towards them at all. So yeah, under a touchdown, I am riding with the Ravens, -6.5 at home.
Yeah, I think that the pro money would support you on that one. I know that there has been a strong contingent group out there that is basically just doubling their bet against Washington every week until they kind of come back down to earth a little bit. Yeah. So I do think that this would be a good spot for it to be. It's in Baltimore. Lamar is unbelievable against the NFC. It's one of those, you know, one of those teams that just doesn't get to see Lamar Jackson very often, and it's very difficult to game plan for him. So I do think that they'll have a good game. And yeah, like you said, there's got to be a time where Jaden Daniels comes back to earth at least a little bit. And I do think against the Ravens in Baltimore is a prime spot for that to happen. So did not make my five, did not ride in that one with you, but I do think that you are on the right side of that bet for sure.
Cody, all right. As well.
Yep, let's jump into it. Okay, so we had the morning clock. Okay, the only game that we have at the 12 o'clock window, we are going to go back to the Thursday podcast and ride with one that I felt pretty strongly about, Cardinals at Packers over 47.5. This one, there were some stats that kind of took me off of it. I looked at the pace of play of both teams. Neither of them were one of the fastest teams in the NFL. Initially was not going to make my five, but Nick and I already have two games that were overlapping. We would have had a third if I would have kept the other game in there. And just based on our podcast bet record over the past couple of weeks, when we group a bunch together, it just multiplies the losing weeks by too much. So going to spread the love a little bit around on this one. The reasons why I am taking this bet, both are 12 offenses and points per game scored. I believe the Packers are right amongst the top, and then the Cardinals are the 12th best offense in points per game. And the Arizona defense is pretty bad. They are bottom six in points per game allowed. And the Packers are slightly better, but as I said on Thursday, they do have a game against Anthony Richardson, a bad Anthony Richardson game, and a Will Levis game that are bringing those points per game down quite a bit. So I don't mind that number doesn't scare me too much. I feel like it's their defensive stats are a little bit inflated. I don't think their defense has been playing that good, especially against good quarterback play. And as I said on Thursday, I feel like this is a little bit of a get back for our horrible beat last week when we had Packers Rams over 48. So I think this is going to be a similar kind of game plan. Hopefully these two teams can just find the end zone one additional time and hit that over for me. But you know, for those who maybe don't bet all 10 games that we put out there, this one is definitely number five on my five picks this week. So if there's one of them that you don't want to take, this is probably the one I would talk you off of. But for my five, I enjoy it. I have a bet on it. Cardinals at Packers over 47.5.
Yeah, that's definitely how this game profiles. Two really good offenses. I think essentially if Kyler Murray and the Cardinals offense comes out and looks good in the first half, you will be covering this number.
Yeah.
A bet on the over is a bet on them to show up. Cause I think the Packers offense, even if Jordan Love isn't playing well, they'll be able to run. I mean, the Cardinals are just not good on defense. There's a lot of ways they could be attacked by the Green Bay offense. So if Kyler can come up and put out 20 points here, I think we will cash this over. But basically that is what you're betting on. So hopefully,
The Kyler pumpkin game is what scares me. He's liable for three or four, just, where did Kyler Murray go games a year? And that was part of the reason I initially took it out of my bets, was I was a little bit worried about that. Some of the other pro podcasts that I'd listened to were kind of worried about that happening this week to Kyler, especially having to travel to Lambeau. But again, I just have a little bit of confidence. I think that even if, you know, this is somewhat of a blowout on the Packers side, I don't feel like this Cardinals team is going to quit. They still have a decent amount to play for, especially having the tiebreaker over the 49ers and the 49ers beating the Seahawks. If the Cardinals can find a way to sneak this one out, they would be at the top of the NFC West and kind of be in control of that division for at least the moment. So that's what kind of brought me back to it. But yeah, the Kyler pumpkin game is what I'm scared about for this one.
My next best bet, sticking in the 12 o'clock slate here, New England plus 6.5. We lost a half point of value, but I like that the number is coming down. That means we're getting some sharp money on this side. Underdogs of 6 or more so far this year. You've heard us talk about it quite a bit. 16-2-1 against the spread, 11-8 straight up, or it might be worth a little sprinkle on the money line as well here with New England. And then this stat I gave out on Thursday's podcast, a little wordy, but stay with me. Underdogs of 7 or more through a team's first 9 games of the season are 96-69-2 against the spread since 03, including 14-0-1 since 2022. And 33-9-2 against the spread since 2020. I think the reason you see some of these stats that are like, hey, first 9 games, first 10 games, first 8 games, seems like kind of an arbitrary number. But I think the reason that we see these stats is because it's harder to know the motivations of some teams later in the season. You know, you have obviously more injuries pile up as games go on. But during the last couple games of the year, you know, you can experience some weird trends for different reasons than football. You know, if you don't need to play because you've locked up a 1 seed, for example, you know, that can kind of mess up some of these trends. So that's why we stick to the first half of the year when we look at things like this. Anyway, good spot for New England. No Nico Collins for Houston is huge. He has been a huge part of their offense. 38% of CJ Stroud's passing yards so far this year have gone to Nico Collins. So they have been struggling as an offense with Nico, and without him, it's going to be a challenge, especially against a solid Patriots defense on the road. Like the under 37.5 here as well. I know it's scary betting on Drake May in his first career start, but I think his mobility will actually help this Patriots offense get moving here. This Houston pass rush is really good. If it was Jacoby Brissett as a statue in the pocket, I don't know how we'd get any points on the board here, but Drake May brings a different different look here. Can move a little bit, ran a bit in college. So I think we're going to see him use his legs here. And hopefully the Pats can, put up a competitive showing on offense and not give it back the other way. I think if they can do that, we will cover this 6.5.
Absolutely. And the under in this game was one that I was strongly considering for my 5. But honestly, the start of Drake May scared me off of it just a little bit. It's a little bit of an unknown. And with those unknowns, you know, we saw
either way.
Exactly. We saw with Andy Dalton, which I know he just seems to be in a much different tier of quarterback than Bryce Young. That offense just initially had a spark underneath them. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the Pats have a solid offensive day in this one, just with a different quarterback in there, different mobility. I feel like the wide receivers are going to be playing a little bit harder, knowing the ball can actually come their way with Drake May behind quarterback and not Jacoby Brissett just dumping it down or taking sacks on any kind of designed wide receiver routes. So I ended up moving off of the under, but yeah, I think the Patriots are definitely the right side. It does look like Joe Mixon may be trending to play in this one, but even with that being said, I don't think he'll be 100%. I don't think they'll fully utilize him to the usage he had in week 1 before he got hurt. It'll be kind of a limp back in kind of game. Make sure that he's feeling all right before actually unleashing him. So yeah, I think you're on the right side of this for sure. I wanted to be on the under, but the unknown just kind of scared me off of it a little bit.
Yep.
Let's jump on one of the two that we're going to be riding together, and then I'll give my 4th because I know your 4th is on Sunday Night Football. So, or I think it is. No, it's not. They're all in the 3 o'clock window. Never mind. Yeah. Yep. All right. We'll just do this one real quick. Falcons at Panthers plus 6.5. If you listen to the Thursday podcast, this shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. We love the Panthers at plus 6, getting the extra half point of value. Did not scare either of us off of it. The line slightly moving against us. Falcons are riding high after a huge win on Thursday Night Football against a divisional team. Panthers got embarrassed against Chicago. This is just a great buy low, sell high spot for the Panthers. I do expect them to bounce back just a little bit here. And I do think the Falcons offense, although it has started to look a little bit better, can still be a little bit suspect. I don't expect Kirk Cousins to come out here and throw for another 500 yards game, which is what it took to beat the Buccaneers on Thursday Night Football. So Panthers plus 6.5. I know it's in mine. I know it's in Nick. What's some of the info you have to back that bet, Nick?
A couple trends for us here on the Panthers. Kirk Cousins, 11-20 against the spread on extended rest in his career. 225th out of 227 quarterbacks the last 20 years. After a straight-up win, Kirk, This is just in any situation. 31, 43, and 2 against the spread. And even worse, 4, 14, and 1 as a favorite of 4 or more. So traditionally, coming off a win, Kirk does not perform well in these spots as a big favorite. The Falcons in general since 2020, 7, 18, and 1 against the spread after a straight-up win. I don't think that stat really matters, but it's just kind of funny that this team, that's the worst mark in the league, by the way, from a percentage standpoint. So Kirk and the team do not generally perform well coming off of coming off of wins. The Falcons defense, I think also there are avenues for Dalton to have some success here. They are 24th in pressure rate, the Falcons are 32nd in sacks. They've had a really hard time getting home, and this Panthers O-line did sustain a couple injuries last week. I think they're going to be missing one starting offensive lineman, so I'm hoping that doesn't make too much of a difference. But they've been a great pass-blocking unit so far, and Dalton's career grade from a clean pocket via PFF would rank 9th in the NFL right now if you were to just put that number in for the full season, because he doesn't have enough to qualify as of now. But so I think if Dalton has a clean pocket, we're going to be able to have some success on offense. And Kirk Cousins just struggles in these spots as a big favorite coming off of a win, kind of some increased expectations. He kind of comes back to the mean. So I'm thinking that Kirk and Dalton isn't as big of a separation as Vegas is telling us. And I think the Carolina Panthers are live here. I would sprinkle a little on the money line as well.
Yeah, 100%. You were a huge proponent of just go ahead and taking that money line on Thursday as well. So
yeah,
may have actually gotten a couple of points of value here with the line kind of ticking against us. So I'm right there with you. I think that the Panthers,
I don't see 6.5s anywhere, but if you can get it, absolutely.
Okay, I'll double check. I think on FanDuel they were 6.5 this morning, but definitely could have moved that extra half a point. Could have gotten some pro money in on the Panthers.
Listen to these percentages. This is beautiful. 12% of bets, 8% of money on the Panthers. No one is betting them. That I absolutely love it. That's fantastic.
12% of tickets, 8% of bets.
12% of tickets, 8% of money. So it is actually a slight money lean to the Falcons. But it's everybody.
It's
is
so
on the
small.
Falcons. That's good. We like that.
Yep, 100%. All right, let's get through our fourth picks here, because our fifth pick is also shared. Mine, hold your nose for this one. This one is gross, but Chargers at Broncos under 35.5. This one actually ticked down, I think, a full point since Thursday. I think it was sitting at 36.5, but this one's gross, but I do have some information on why I am attacking the lowest under on the board this week. For the season, the Chargers are the 32nd team in pace of play, while the Broncos are 18th for the season. But over their last three games where the Broncos have found success, they have been the 26th team in pace of play. So both of these teams, very methodical, letting the clock run between plays, and also keeping the clock moving. So that benefits us quite a bit with this under. I expect both these teams to be playing slow and defenses to be kind of the focal point. I think both these quarterbacks take care of the ball well enough that I don't have to really fear of the defensive touchdown as bad in this game. Sure, Bo Nix definitely liable. And then Herbert is, more liable than people would probably think just based on the name. But I still feel pretty good about these two, which is really the reason why I chose this under over the Raiders and Steelers. I feel like both of those quarterbacks in that game are liable to allow a defensive score. I feel much more comfortable with Nix, the way that he's been playing, and Herbert just overall. And then lastly, the Chargers are first in points allowed per game at 12.5, and the Broncos are second in points per game allowed at 14.6 per game. So again, just expect a low scoring defensive battle here in a divisional game. And, it's low. You got to plug your nose. Hopefully we don't see any defensive touchdowns or any big scores, early on in this game. But I feel pretty good about it not happening under 35.5 in the Chargers-Broncos game.
Yeah, we talk about it time and time again. These very low totals are very low for a reason. They usually go under the number when they are this low, just because, like you said, these offenses play very conservative. Hopefully we don't have too many turnovers, at least not in their own end. And I think this game definitely profiles as one that will be a 20-13 type of turnout here. So hopefully it's in Denver's favor. Detroit -3 is my fourth best bet here. We have a lot of trends that point us in the Lions' direction beyond just the football aspect of it, where the Lions, I think, are going to have a lot of motivation coming into this game after what happened in Dallas last year. They match up very well with this Dallas defense. The Cowboys have struggled against the run. The last couple games, they've been a little better, but it's been on the road against the Giants and the Steelers, two of the worst rushing attacks in the league right now. So Detroit, a step up in class, to say the least. Road favorites off a bye the last 20 years, 60% against the spread. So just off the bat, we want to be on the Lions in this spot. Dan Campbell as a favorite in general, 65% against the spread, covers at a very high rate. Jared Goff off a bye, 5-2 against the spread. We like that. Dan Campbell, how about him playing against teams above 500? 16-6 against the spread. They perform well in these spots. Jared Goff in general against teams above 500, 59% against the spread in his career as well. Dak does not perform well in these spots against teams above 500, 19-27 against the spread in his career. So a lot of things pointing us in the Lions direction here beyond the fact that I just like this Lions football team and I am looking to fade the Cowboys coming off a week. But they played really well against the Steelers. I have to give them credit. They deserve to win that game by more than the three that they won it by. But a team that I am just not super high on in general. Frank Ragnow also expected back for the Lions. They didn't need him against the Seahawks. They blew him out anyway, but always nice to have your all-pro center back. So hoping they can establish the rush as I expect them to do.
Absolutely. I don't know if you saw I think it was Dan Campbell in an interview, but he was talking about Frank Ragnow. And he was like, yeah, I was walking through the facility earlier this week, and next thing you know, I got shoved up against a wall and punched a couple of times in the chest, and that was just Frank showing me that he's healthy and ready to go. And I was like, what a Dan Campbell interview.
Campbell, football guy. Yeah,
100%. Absolutely. So that got me chuckling. But yeah, this was the fifth game I ended up taking out and replacing just so that way we didn't have three games that overlapped. I'm right there with you. Already have a bet on the -3 for the Lions as well. So we are on the same page on that bet. No pushback whatsoever. I also think that the Lions got a pretty good representation on what to do last week, watching the Steelers kind of be able to handle the Cowboys to a certain extent. Obviously, I don't know if the Lions defense is as good, but you know, Dan Campbell off of the bye has this team completely fired up, ready to roll. And again, playing against a team where they could make a case that they kind of got screwed in that game last year. So I think that, that's a great spot for the Lions. And then, we moved to Monday Night Football. Both of us taking a Monday Night Football, both on the same side again. So hopefully this week we're going into Monday Night Football. We're looking at 8-0 for the 10-0 week and not 0-8 with a risk of going 0-10. But we are on Jets plus 2.5 in this one. There's a few factors that have me wanting to get back on the Jets this week. I was on them last week in London as well. The new coach bump, teams coming off of a coach firing typically perform well in the following week. Just a different voice, different message from the team. You get the home divisional underdog. And then you also have James Cook looking like he's not going to play, as well as Khalil Shakir not looking like he's going to play. And on top of that, you have Josh Allen coming off a week where he got knocked out on the field and did not ever enter concussion protocol all week long. Still makes no sense to me. I hope that he is okay for his sake, but for this game, I'm going to try and take advantage of that. I don't know. I mean, I guess he doesn't have a concussion, or at least the NFL wants people to assume that, so that way they're not thinking about it. But he's definitely got a little messed up last week. There should be something, you know, if he has an off game, there's going to be a lot more questions about it, and that's what I'm betting on here. So Jets plus 2.5 is my fifth best bet of the week.
Mine as well. Like you said, teams after firing a coach since 2003, 22-16 against the spread. We are expecting a little bit of the dead cat bounce here. New York Jets trying to become the third team to make the playoffs with an interim head coach. Only two teams in NFL history have ever done it. That makes some sense, though. Obviously, if you're firing your coach midseason, things aren't going well. One of those two teams gets an asterisk as well. So the 2021 Raiders, one of the two teams that have done it, they were 3-2 with John Gruden as their head coach, and he got fired for reasons beyond football, obviously, with the email leaks that went into that. So that really wasn't even a football decision. Cody, can you name the other team that has made the playoffs with an interim head coach? I'll give you 10 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's the 1961 Oilers. Wally Lem. Cody, come on. Where's your football history? Obviously, the 61 Oilers went down in infamy, making the playoffs with their interim head coach, Wally Lem. Yeah. Jets fighting against history here, to say the least, when it comes to that. But we like them in this spot. Josh Allen historically has struggled against the Jets defense with healthy wide receiver options. This week, he won't even have those. He might not be healthy himself. And the Jets, hopefully, will have a little bit of motivation coming off the coach firing. So just a good spot to take them at home here with a public team on the road here. Being the Bills, let's take a look. Yep, 63% of tickets on the Bills, 49% of money. So a public lean there. And yeah, a Jets team that just traditionally plays Josh Allen well beyond all the other factors we mentioned.
Yeah, was just looking at an article here because I had heard some talks in the preseason about like first coach to be fired bets. Obviously, Doug Peterson was kind of up there. Nick Sirianni, Dennis Allen were kind of those coaches that people were talking about. Robert Saleh, as of September 26th, so not even preseason, but just a couple weeks into the season, plus 2,500 to be the first coach fired on the NFL season. Wow. So pretty crazy to see him go. Vegas was not expecting it, at least as of a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, that's pretty crazy. But again, these are just the kind of spots you want to, take. Plenty of trends going in our direction. Again, coach firing, home divisional dog, and I mean, you can maybe throw Dalton Kincaid in there, but really, I would say the top two options on offense for the Bills are out with Shakir and Cook. Mm-hmm. And then really top three, because Josh Allen's probably number the third best offensive option on that team. Like sure. I said, I think he's a little bit banged up. And if he has a completely off game, no one's going to be surprised based on last weekend. So, yeah, love the Jets plus 2.5 in this spot. Also, just Monday Night Football. In those primetime spots, you typically like to see unders, and with taking the home divisional dog, the under would play into that as well. So I love the Monday Night Football bet quite a bit. Nick, I'll go through my five real quick since I have the London game, and then I'll let you go. I got Jaguars at Bears in London, minus one. So Bears minus one in London. We have the Cardinals at Packers over 47.5. Again, if you don't tail all 10 bets, this would be the one I'd tell you to lay off of, just scared of that Kyler Pumpkin game. But as far as my five and taking out the Lions, I like this over 47.5. It was number six on my board. Chargers at Broncos under 35.5. Already went through all the stats there on that one, but I think this is going to be a low-scoring defensive divisional battle. Panthers plus 6.5 at home against the Falcons. And then the Jets plus 2.5 at home against the Bills. So feel pretty good about these. Ended up getting two of those home divisional dogs. Actually both are home divisional dogs. Ended up getting an over, got an under, as well as got a little touch of the London game. So I feel pretty good about my spread this week. Nick, what are your five bets?
Baltimore minus 6.5 at home against the Commanders. New England plus 6.5 at home against the Texans. We're going to Dallas, taking the Lions minus 3 on the road against the Cowboys. Carolina plus 6 at home against the Falcons. Sprinkle a little on the money line there. Panthers are going to win this game outright. Spoiler alert. And then Monday night, me and Cody both on the Jets plus 2.5 at home against the Bills.
Wonderful, wonderful. All right, Nick, let's get you out of here. Let's go go dominate the pickleball courts, and I will actually see you later tonight a little Halloween party. So we'll talk to you guys next week, recap this week, preview next week, and hope all your bets cash, and hopefully we can get back to a 500 or better record with a massive week this week. Nick, peace out.
Peace.